Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize for my voice because I think I'm allergic to Phoenix weather. So my task today, I'll try my best. My task today is to present to you the things that we've been doing and how to answer this question about the value of multi-scale climate information for decision support in agriculture. So the outline of my talk, I will give you a background about the seasonal variability or interannual variability as the main source of risk for farmers, and I will define what I say about value, and then present a simple example of the application of seasonal climate prediction in India. And then show to you the tool that we've been developing. We call it CAMDT, Climate Agricultural Modeling Decision and Decision Tool, and show some of the applications that this tool can do, and fertilizer management informed by climate, and then discuss about subseasonal scale or information that we can use for adding a scale at the subseasonal time scale and summarize. Okay, so this is a time series of precipitation, long-term time series of precipitation in Michigan. And if you try to decompose the variance of this with respect to trend, decadal variability, and interannual variability, you can see that most of the variability actually falls on the interannual or seasonal variability. The trend in this particular climate regime consists of 5% of the variance, the decadal variability is 15%, and majority of the variability are in the seasonal time scale. It means that most of the risk faced by farmers at the actionable time scale is at the seasonal time scale. So if we are able to predict the variation or variability of climate at this time scale, then we can help the farmer or decision maker at least avert the risk associated to climate. Climate prediction actually is a very difficult task because, so this slide shows a dichotomy of the what they call forecast skill or the skill of forecast with respect to lead time. And these three graphs here represents the skill of different at different time scales. So if you have a weather forecast actually has higher time scale at the shortest lead time because it is an initial condition problem. So if you initialize well your numerical weather prediction model, you will have a better skill of predicting the weather state in at some time, but then longer than probably 2 weeks or more, you will have a lower prediction skill. With respect to climate, it is more a boundary condition problem, so it is on the memory of the sea surface temperature, and usually you can get much of that skill at the longer lead time. Maybe 60, 90 days, you can still have some skill. But in between here, 30 to, you know, they call it intermediate time scale, so you will have still, you can get skill from here, from different indices, like, for example, from MJO or other land surface feedback. But as you notice, that even at the at this climate time scale, the skill really is really, really low. So the question is, how can you best use this information to better inform your decision-making process? So let me define what we call as value. The value of the seasonal time scale and subseasonal time scale is actually based on this simple equation, the decision that you make, optimal decision that we make, if it is informed by climate forecast, that is skillful, with respect to climatology, plus this one. This guy is very, very critical to quantify the additional information that you can get from subseasonal information. Okay, so we devise some techniques or methodologies and how we can incorporate multi-scale climate information in our modeling approaches. Like, for example, we have seasonal climate forecasts that are updated every month, and once they are updated, the data before the forecast are already monitored, so we merge actually monitored information plus the forecast, and we run our models to test some scenarios and how can we optimize, say, the decision-making process during that season. So the advantage of doing this is if you have monitored information, you can actually assimilate not only climate observation but other observable data like remote sensing data, in this case, leaf area index or soil moisture from remote sensing. In here, you need to have a good downscaling technique that will be able to disaggregate temporally your forecast or your seasonal climate forecast or subseasonal forecast to the requirements of your modeling approach. Okay, this is an example of a seasonal prediction we made for India, seasonal climate prediction. This is to predict rainfall for the summer monsoon in India, in the small area here in Mahabubnagar. So when you're trying to develop a prediction system, climate prediction system, you have to fix some predictor from a very wide range of fields. In this case, I don't have the time to discuss all this, but these are just, say, GCM fields, either rainfall or precipitable water. In this case, in this area, it is integrated all liquid water. So along the vertical, we took that as a predictor, and also the precipitation coming from a GCM. It's just, we use a MOS. We call it Model Output Statistics. It's like PCR regression. And then we, based on that, we took the best model, in this case, just a simple regression model, that has the better skill in reproducing the seasonal climate, in this case, the June, July, August rainfall in that region. And as you can see here, that this has a different lead time, June, July, and August. And as you have longer lead time has, it has some skill. And the better skill, the better predictor that predicts the rainfall actually is the predictor 2, which is the vertical water in this region. So we use that to do some rainfall prediction. In this case, we did the hindcast, in this case, for more than 40 years, I guess. And then we predicted the rainfall in hindcast mode for that region and then updated them every month. And then we downscaled them. We fed them to our crop simulation models. And as you can see here, that as you update your information month at a time, you can see that initially the correlation of your prediction is about this one, but it improves as you add more information, monitored plus forecast. So we develop tools to try to integrate multi-scale climate information. So we have here Climate Agriculture Modeling and Decision Tool, we call it CAMDT, and it's able to ingest probabilistic seasonal climate forecast. There is a DSET inside, but it is able also to accommodate other crop models. And it has several temporal downscaling techniques that is built in inside. And you can analyze, for example, given a climate forecast or even just from historical records, you can design, what is the best planting window that you can have. Here it shows here some probability of exceeding water stress. So you can see in the historical record or at that time period, where is the period that the plot could experience big stress. You can also do some scenario analysis on the impacts of ENSO. So when an ENSO is predicted, which, you know, it is really predictable at longer lead times, then you'll be able to analyze some scenarios and how you can minimize the risk associated with ENSO in that particular agroecological zone. And then this model is able also to simulate something like this. So this is actually an example of fertilizer management informed by climate. This plot represents climatology and El Nino regime, La Nina and neutral. So the X axis here shows the fertilizer rate. The Y axis either yield or benefit. And you can see that as you increase the fertilizer rate, of course there is the maximum application of fertilizer you can do for a particular climate regime. In this example, the other one is based only on climatology, but when the climate is dry, if you invest based on climatology, you are exposing some loss because it means that you don't need to apply a lot of fertilizer because you'll be really experiencing a lot of risk because of dry climate and so on and so forth. Okay. The system is also able to show you a dynamics of the risk of exceeding water stress as a function of time. And this one shows when you're using a climate forecast, and this is one when you're using climatology. The three lines actually are different planting dates. And it shows you different profiles when you're using a forecast and when you just use climatology. So there is an information coming from the forecast. And this multi-scale information or subseasonal information that could inform also, you know, within the growing season. So this is also from the forecast, but this is from seasonal time scale, and this is from climatology. So if you just see this green line here shows the probability of exceeding water stress, and the forecast says that there is more probability that this level can be exceeded at this time period. But this comes still from the seasonal time scale, this aggregated using some downscaling techniques. So what if we have a source of information either from MJO or from weather forecast that can inform more or inform better this kind of scenario. Okay, 2 minutes. I don't have the time to solve this in 2 minutes. I just want to show what are the things that what we are doing. We are using MJO to try to inform this guy here, because the time scale of MJO is 30 to 60 days. And this is just showing, you know, that at different phases of MJO, you have, you know, these are OLR. Blue is wet, and that is dry. So it actually goes from west to east. So at some point, you can have some information to ingest in your model. That's all. Thank you. I want to acknowledge actually my...